Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, major NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
It's the noon hour, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket, and that means lunchtime. All right, the lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Moleberry Barbecue. Now with two numero dos locations at 11th and Cornhusker and a 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Now try their burnt-end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Moleberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. And if you didn't know, now you know, we will be having one monthly remote, Jake and myself, at Moleberry Barbecue South location. The next one will be coming up very, very soon. So Jake and I sat down, brainstormed, and we have cherry-picked the best topics out of all the topics we were going to talk about. And one thing we realized is that two of the clips we were going to play, they directly dealt with the alternate uniforms. Basically, one was Dylan Raiola describing driving to Seward, Nebraska in the middle of the night to film the Huskers blackout uniform promo. And he kind of talked about basically the field, cornfield belongs to one of the major donors for the university. And they were kind of like, don't touch the corn. It was really his first time being around an ear of corn like that, in a cornfield like that. So that was a little bit interesting. The other one was really, and I kind of already said what Matt Rhule said. Matt Rhule really talked about wanting to do the alternate uniforms at least once a year. It's something cool. They've earned the right to do this, which I thought was interesting. Earning the right, just do it. Had we won a bunch of football games lately, I would have been like, okay, you earned the right, I guess. I don't think at this point you have to earn the right. Just do what you believe is best. It's neither really here nor there, but it's something cool. It's something that recruits look at. They're interested in. Current players get excited about. So again, for that reason, I'm on board. I will get off your lawn. All right. Per that texter earlier, I will go ahead and let that go. But we are going to play this clip, and it's Matt Rhule describing why he does the finger point the way he does it and why he does it in every photo that he takes. And then after that, we're going to do a little bit of college football playoff discussion, because now they want to put 9,824 million teams into the playoff, and I'm rounding down. And then later on, we'll discuss. Matt Rhule kind of opens up on what he believes the strengths of the team are going into the season and the areas of improvement. If you just listen to what he said, we'll discuss that as well. But let's start with the clip about Matt Rhule branding every picture he does with his fingers. Go ahead, Jake.
This, because people ask me about this all the time. This is how they signaled Husker. So they Tony White and then Satt and those guys thought that that looked like the state of Nebraska. So every picture I take, I do this, okay? Because number one, no one needs to see me with two arms around two people like this, my stomach hanging out. Like, you know, I was at Baylor. My hand was like this, but every picture I take, I want branded. I'm the head coach at the University of Nebraska. And there's not a picture I don't take that I'm representing the school. And you know what's cool? I got little kids walking up to me. I'm like, coach, can I get a picture? They all do this. And someday, Nash, I'm going to sign you, bro. Wish his son's back there. I'm going to sign him. And on his letter of, you know, his commitment video, it's got a picture of him like when he was at camp like this. And now when he's 18 like this. And so I just think, you know, that's what this is. So anyway, I answered a lot of questions. You guys got me in a great mood. I came in early, hung out with you guys. Everyone's here. Thank you for a great camp. And guess what? Camp is over. Camp is over tonight. So I'm going to get some sleep. Thank you.
So this was obviously the press conference. And a lot of the press conference that we're going to react to took place after our last show on Friday. But this took place after the last practice and camp ended. He gave the guys off the evening from meetings that night, surprised them with that. I will tell you right now, as a player, when you're beat up, when you're exhausted, when it's hot, when you've been grinding, you're getting up at 6 in the morning, going to bed at 10, 11, because that's what camp entails, two-a-days or not, like, that's a real treat, especially at the end of camp. They had no curfew. All right, as far as the branding, I love it. I do. It's in every picture he takes. And he said it kind of looks like the state of Nebraska. And I'm like, dang, it kind of does look like the state of Nebraska. Why is that funny? What am I missing?
No, it does. It just, I'm not sure if it looks all that much like the state of Nebraska in my mind. But yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
See it. Yeah.
Keywords. Kind of. Okay. It does resemble, though, a little bit the state of Nebraska. Like, what if we were the state of, I was going to say Florida. Florida may not be that hard. It could angle your fingers. California wouldn't be that hard. I'm trying to think of a funny shaped state. Like state of Washington, it's got like, especially up by Seattle, it's got that little hook thing up there.
Yeah, it could be hard to do. Square states are just, I don't know how you would get
that. Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I'm getting at though. I genuinely do like it. I like that it's something, he credited Tony White and Terrence Knighton in the press conference as well. It's something that he kind of kept that Tony White was doing, is they would signal Husker, which was obviously one of their calls that they would make. I like that he's representing the state of Nebraska. It is a form of branding. It's already catching on. It will catch on. Now that I understand exactly what it is and exactly the reasoning behind it, I genuinely do like it. And I think it's something now that more people understand, more people are going to do it, more people are going to catch on to it. And I think it's something, I wonder if other coaches across the country are like, well, how do we do the shape of whatever state that we're in? You know, what if you are Occidental University or you're like Sam Houston State, you know, you've got like 15 other teams in Texas. Like, I don't know how you do it then. But if you're like this University of Texas, just start gagging every time you want to talk about Texas, because that's what I would do. But what are your thoughts here before we move on?
Yeah, I think the more I think about the other states trying to replicate it, I think that's going to become more difficult. So it is unique to Nebraska. I think that it's good because we've seen it for years, which is interesting, without having the explanation for it. So I think it is good to kind of get there. And like you said, I think now heightened awareness of what that means. But it's kind of this all together, and he talked about this in the press conference in general, and we've seen him kind of do his walk along videos. It's more highlighting what they have to offer. And of course, everybody's doing it. You see documentaries being made about the Chiefs and SEC football. And so, you know, I think for the longest time you had to hire a company, have them kind of set something up. And now everybody obviously got smartphones. You've got, you know, a new facility. Why not show it all off? And so I think the Huskers have just done a good job. Even mentioned, I think the Chasing Three documentary, you know, one of the primary workers on that wasn't making very much doing that. And I thought it looked fantastic. So, you know, I think it's just with technology the way it is, and with the kind of the new things they have to show off, I think they've done a fantastic job of kind of put that in the front and center. Now, will that all that matter if they lose to Cincinnati? No, people will still be upset. But I think, you know, as far as offseason, they're doing a great job.
We've talked about games. Well, first of all, the topic at hand, I like it. And I think now that people understand it more thoroughly, it's going to catch on even quicker. I think we're both on board with that. We've talked about the games that are the most important on Nebraska's schedule in the past. Like, I don't think most people would inherently just circle Cincinnati. But because it is the first game of the year, because it is in Arrowhead and it's on ESPN and it's nationally televised and all eyes will be on Nebraska, like, it is absolutely one of the most important games of the year, because think about if we don't win it. Think about if we don't win it. So Cincinnati, I again, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this. Wasn't even one of the topics we were going to talk about. I think Michigan has the potential to be on there. If I go beyond that, I do say Minnesota. We've got to beat Minnesota. We've got to get that monkey off our back. It's enough is enough with them beating us with less talented teams. Enough is enough. It's going to be a short week after the Maryland road trip, and we're going to go up there. It's going to be a Friday, and it's going to be in their house. Good. Good. No excuses. Enough is enough. Time to punch that monkey off our back. Beating us five times in a row, 6 out of 7. So, Cincinnati for me, Michigan, Minnesota, and I'm going to go with 5 here. I just am. USC, now that it's the alternate uniform game, because now that's going to become a whole thing. If we win, everybody's going to love the uniforms more. If we lose, everybody's not going to like them more. Not everybody, but a lot of people. It's how you play. A lot of people buy into look good, feel good, play good. Maybe it's just because I'm a dirty, grimy lineman, or I used to be. I was a quarterback before that. Even as a quarterback, I was like, huh? No, what I wear does not affect how I play. That was just always my attitude. Everybody's different. But something will be made of the alternate uniforms, whether we win or lose that game. And then Iowa. I would, dare I say, Cincinnati and Iowa are two of the most important games of the year. You can throw Michigan out there, but if we're 3-0 and then we play Michigan down to the wire and we're 3-1, we got a stretch of teams that are decent. Michigan State, Maryland, Northwest, not pushovers, but we can get some wins there and get the momentum back. So then I would actually err towards Minnesota, USC. If I had to pick 3, Iowa, Cincinnati, USC, now because of the whole uniform thing is going to be made into a thing, unfortunately. Those would be my top 3. Then I would go Minnesota. Then I would go Michigan. Again, we've talked about this before. I don't want to tell you to be quick, but be quick, and we'll move on to the actual college football playoff 4,000 team model that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Now, you know, Iowa and Cincinnati are the one. I mean, that's how you start, and that's how you finish. And for God's sake, Nebraska needs to beat Iowa so we can feel good about ourselves at the end of the regular season for once in a while.
All right. The Big Ten, Pete Thamel. Sources, the Big Ten has begun populating an expanded college football playoff idea, which could include 24 or 28 teams. Now, at the end of the tweet that I'm looking at, he said just an idea, but this was reported by multiple people. First of all, is there anything on the text line we need to get to before we dive into this thing?
No, not necessarily.
All right, texters, people listening, anybody who gives 2 cents to this side of a monkey's rear end about the game of college football, can you tell me why they're trying to ruin the game of college football? I mean,
it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
College football was one of one. The regular season was special. It mattered. It was unique. And then they said, let's do a 4-team playoff. I said, fine. But I just watch. It's going to go to 8, then 12, then 16, and then we might try to go to 24. And I was wrong. We went from 4 to 12. Now we might go from 12 to 28. Like, I thought it would be a slower process. They're just saying, oh, heck with this. Now, part of me is just hoping they're throwing this out there because there were teams arguing about a 14-team playoff and a 16-team playoff, and should it be play-in? And should it be 5 with 11, 5 automatic bids with 11 at-large spots. Part of me is hoping they're throwing this out there so that everybody hates it. And then when they come back, oh, well, let's go revisit the 14 and 16 team model and everyone's much more open-minded, get on the same page, and then we have a resolution. Do you think there's any possibility that that's what this is, Jake? Because I am so hopeful that that's what this is.
Well, it might make some sense, but unfortunately, I think this is kind of what happens once you get into the kind of the expansion talk. That's what, you know, in college basketball, they just shut it down for this year, but it's going to come back. They want to continue expanding that. And, you know, there's more dollars, more opportunities for TV contracts. And hopefully some of these games will be played on campus. So I think, you know, a lot of that would feel important, or they'd find a way to kind of mix it into college football. But I think, I mean, that's the problem. I honestly don't care all that much. Once you're at 12 or 14, you're already past the point of what the traditional regular season mattered to me. So if you want to blow it up and make it like college basketball, I don't love it, but I already think it's too far gone. You already let it out.
The difference is in college basketball, you can go play your 30 to 36 games, and then if you play an additional 8 games, it's not that big a deal. If you play an additional 12 games, it's not that big a deal. Football's different. You can only play so many games. It's the reason you only play one football game a week, as opposed to baseball, for example. I mean, you can play doubleheaders if you want. Basketball, you can play 3-4 games a week. You can't do that in football. So if you're going to keep adding games, you are now literally going to have to take away part of the regular season. And they're talking about getting rid of conference championship games, which, let's be honest, just ask Oregon, not that important. So, of the models that have been pitched, that have been put out there, proposed, that's the word I'm looking for. The 14-team play-in model is by far, out of the ones that seem like a viable option, by far my favorite. 24 and 28. I saw what it looked like. I haven't had an example in front of me. I might as well have been looking at a Texas logo. I started gagging. I'm like, what is this? The 16-team model, I suppose it's better. But the reason I like the 14-team model, I like it because you can say the 1 and 2 seed who are going to get byes have to be conference champs. Now, all of a sudden, the conference championship games mean more. Probably going to be Big Ten SEC champs. Doesn't necessarily have to be. But now the conference championship games have meaning. And for those who don't know, just to rehash, the 14-team play-in model, the Big Ten gets 4 automatic teams. The SEC gets 4. It's been a while since we talked about this. The Big 12 gets 2. The ACC gets 2. That's 12. The G5 gets 1. And then there's one at-large spot that's open, which probably for Notre Dame. And essentially, the conference champs, the 2 highest-rated conference champs, would get the 1 and 2 seeds. They'd get a first-round bye. So your conference championship games mean something. They mean a lot. That bye is going to matter, especially if it's just 1 week off versus 3. And I think they just start the playoffs sooner, and all of a sudden that bye becomes a good thing. You have a week off versus 25 days, which becomes a negative. And then for the Big Ten and SEC, the 3 seed would play the 6 seed at the end of the regular season. 4 would play 5, and the winners are in. So the top 2 seeds are automatically in for the Big Ten SEC no matter what. You're just fighting for that bye in the conference championship. And then the remaining 2 spots are the winners of the 3-6-4-5 game. Now, the Big 12 ACC would be a little bit different. So it would be the Big 10 and SEC champs get the 1 and 2 spots, because the Big 12 ACC, there's no conference championship game in this model. It's 1 plays 4, 2 plays 3, I assume the higher seed hosts. And the winners of those 2 games get the Big 12 2 automatic spots and the ACC 2 automatic spots. There's your 12, the highest ranked G5 team. And I like the idea of the 2 highest rated G5 teams playing each other, and the winner gets that G5 spot. So there's a play-in game there. And then another idea that was put out there was Notre Dame playing the highest rated remaining team that's not in any of the qualifying games, which last year, by the way, would have been Ole Miss, who I think was 14th in the country. And so, or you could just make it the 2 highest remaining teams, period.
Yeah, Notre Dame doesn't get an automatic play-in.
Yes, yes. And I like that because everyone is playing in, has to earn it. And you're devaluing the regular season a little bit, but you're not destroying it. You're rewarding conference champs. And then as far as the seeding, I would heavily emphasize strength of schedule. You're taking it out of the boardroom, out of the committee's hands. It's all about what happens on the field with these play-in games, these conference championship games. Now, where the committee comes in is the seeding, and I would make the number one emphasis strength of schedule, especially your non-con. Now, people aren't going to like that because people don't want to schedule tough non-conference games starting about next year and the year after. It worked for Ohio State and Michigan. I get it. I understand it. Doesn't mean I have to be a fan of it. But you reward strength of schedule, especially non-conference games, when you're seeding 1 through 14. The 16-team model, you can still have the play-in games, but in order to have a 15th and 16th team in, you've got to take a loser of a play-in game to fill in those remaining 2 slots. So what's the point of a play-in game? Also, now the top 2 or probably the Big Ten SEC conference champs don't get a bye which devalues the conference championship game a little bit. You get the 1 and 2 seed still probably. Home field, I would assume. Hopefully we play more of these games on campus, but I like to buy. Like, why do I care about 116, 215 blowout games? Let's put more emphasis. Sometimes less is more. Not in today's world, I get it. But in my mind, less is more because you put more emphasis on the conference championship games. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. I get what you're saying. And so maybe I would prefer the 14 to the 16 to try to preserve some of that stuff. It's just, you know, obviously, if you just have 16, it's just less confusing. It's just like, all right, let's find a way to get our 16 in there. So kind of interesting the way that they do it. Again, my problem with this is that if you're already saying you want 24, 28 teams in, I mean, just look at how long the 12 team model lasted. It's already gone. We're already moving on past the 14. So I just don't know if there's any way of preserving this or keeping it kind of caged. It's not just the Big Ten. Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri's coach, was kind of saying the same thing as far as getting more teams in. He wants top 7 from the SEC to get an mm-hmm. opportunity. And
top 7 from the Big Ten. That was part of that 28,000 team proposal. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I would prefer, I like what you're kind of saying about the 14. I do think that makes a little more sense. But I just wonder if I don't know, college football fans can keep up. A couple thoughts off the text line that thought were kind of interesting to throw your way. What do you think about reseeding after the first round like the NFL does?
Yes, absolutely. That shouldn't even be a question. That should happen anyways. Mm. Bracketology is fun for the NCAA basketball tournament. But the highest seed should always host the lowest seed. And the second highest should always host the second lowest remaining seed. Yes. Preach. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, and a lot of people just saying it's all about money, and then...
that is correct. 6913. I don't have to like it, but I understand it.
6913 says, there used to be a really long playoff with 130 teams called the regular season.
Yeah, one of my favorite comments we have ever received. Just one of my favorite comments ever. The other 16-team model with the 5 automatic bids going to the 5 conference champs, the 4 power 4 teams, and then the highest-ranked G5 team, and then... What was it, the 5+11 model? The 11 remaining spots were just at large, whoever the highest ranked remaining teams were. I've discussed that. I went through it. If you're for that, you need to go back and do recent checkups on rankings in the polls at the end of the regular season. You're going to have 5 to 6 SEC teams in every year. The Big 12 would not have had a single team in the 16-team playoff beyond their conference champ the past 2 years. Okay. So it's actually hurting the Big 12. It's hurting the ACC. The Big 10's probably going to get their 4 in every year. You're not going to get more. The people in charge of voting, the people in charge of ESPN, they have the SEC connections. There is the SEC buy-in. Look at the polls right now. And yes, the SEC is a great conference. But they're going to get the benefit of the doubt without the games ever being played. And when the games were actually played at the end of last college football season, what happened? I like the play-in games. Earn it on the field. Don't leave it up to people's opinions, or bias is going to run wild, and bias is always going to favor the Southeast. SEC.
Here's the one idea that I would have is with these giant conferences, I think it could, and I was talking about this with Austin earlier, I could think it would be interesting if you just played all conference games. You get more of a chance to kind of figure out your conference standings. Obviously, it still wouldn't be fair. But then once you get to the playoffs, and we got this big expanded playoffs that right now don't like, at least I would be like, okay, now I get to see what the Big Ten does against these other opponents rather than kind of having that non-con. And I think part of doing that too is you might not even cut conference games. You might just cut the non-con, play 8 regular season games and get into your playoff. And then what do you do with all these other teams that aren't playing? Maybe an NIT type of bracket? I don't know.
But even so, it's an idea. When you said all conference games, I was like, oh, we're going to play 12 conference games. Then we don't have to worry about the SEC playing 8 versus the Big Ten and everybody else playing 9 except the ACC. But if you only do 8 or 9 regular season games, what if you do 8 regular season conference games, you're ousted the first round of the playoff, you played 9 games. It's like a high school schedule.
Yeah.
So we're going to go from, you got to win the national championship, you're going to play 17 games, essentially, not more, depending on how many teams we actually let in, to you might play 9. I don't know. So for me, that's kind of where I struggle with that just a little bit. I can't think of, I felt like I had one more thought. I can't think of what it was. Any other final thoughts on your end or the text line?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. You'd have to fill it in with some sort of like NIT, but even if you did that, which NIT, maybe like they threw out a group of 5 playoff, which I think would still be kind of interesting. but still, if you lose, but in the first round, you'd only play like 9 games, like you're saying. And you just can't do that with all the home games, the revenue that people make, that wouldn't work out. So, you know, that's, again, that's kind of the big problem with football and these expanded playoffs is you're asking players already to play 16 games a season. It's more than what's been asked before.
It's more than an NFL season. Why do we need to go beyond, okay, 16 teams? You go beyond 16, you're creating a whole nother round of games. I like 14. Stated why. Why do we have to go beyond 16? Why do we have to go beyond 4 rounds of playoffs? You know how many times I've heard somebody say, watch the FCS playoffs? My first response is, how many times have you watched the FCS regular season? They stare at me. Like, not the best example. But if we're going to use the FCS playoffs, they go to 16. Why do you need to go beyond that? Now you are literally eating into the regular season. That's where I'm like, I draw the line of what I'm okay with. I like 8. I said it before, I like an 18 playoff. Or something to that effect. 8. 10, maybe there's some play-in games to get to 8. I don't know. By the way, you pointed this out 2 months ago. The 14-team playoff really is a 24-team playoff because the play-in games, you can dub them play-in games. They're really playoff games.
Yeah.
And that involves 24 teams to get to that 14-team playoff that I talked about earlier with 3, 6, 4, 5 and all that. All right, when we come back, Matt Rhule's press conference, Dylan Raiola's press conference, what Matt Rhule alluded to fairly obviously are the strengths of the team, where they may need some improvement as well. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. I'm so upset by this playoff thing. Like, they're ruining college football. I'm sorry. Go to break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.